Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was the time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish. Eat right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Heel and Lance are done, but we are still out here at East River 9, and you should come out here as well. Birdie's Ice House is open. The kitchen's open. Heel and Lance are going to take advantage of that. You should, too. Or maybe just want to play a round of golf at a place where, if you look from the first hole, you get a great view of downtown Houston. So we're out here the rest of the day. The entire lineup will be, and then we'll also have a special show, because you guys know, normally it's Rich Eisen from 12 to 3, but we're going to have a local show featuring the likes of Sean Mapes, who's sitting to my left, and also Will Kunkel, who is a contributor to the station as well. So all day out here at East River 9, come out here, take advantage of the golf, the pickleball, and the food in the new Birdie's Ice House. So this show, at times, can take a cynical approach to things that people love, like things we don't have the same type of joy for. We may, in some cases, poop on it. That's a word I use, because the real word I'd use I can't say. But you get the point. But the NFL schedule came out. People were excited. We know the NFL is taking it very seriously. So much so that you've got now pretty much every team doing something cinematic with their schedule release. The Dolphins had Rick Ross in a bit where they say, "Hey, players, Mr. Ross wants to see you." And these players thought they were talking about Steven, the owner, and it turns out Rick Ross was sitting in an office. So they did that. We know the Chargers are famous for what they do. It's spread across the entire league. But, you know, at the core of it, you get to see how your season can possibly play out. You hear the predictions. You see tough part of the schedule, weak part of the schedule. We knew the Texans, going by projections, would have the seventh easiest schedule. Turns out that they also are on the plus side when it comes to rest. One intrepid gentleman decided to look at all the schedules, and I say intrepid because it's something I wouldn't do, so I'm going to applaud you for it. He decided to look at all the schedules and say who would have a rest advantage, whether you're coming off a bye, whether your opponent's coming off a bye, and the Texans wound up a plus eight. So all it means is over the course of the year, they will have eight more days of rest compared to their opponents. Obviously, over a 17-game schedule, it comes out to half a day or so, or less than that. But overall, the Texans won't be at a rest advantage. They don't play a team coming off a bye, something people are concerned with sometimes. All their entire schedule, they don't play a team coming off a bye. So some advantageous portions of the Texans' schedule, particularly the first part of it, where we are still on the impression that we own Josh Allen and the Bills until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we approach that game that way because of the history, but it is legitimately a Super Bowl contender walking into your building. But, hey, you don't do anything against us, so of course we're going to win.
Not a Super Bowl contender against us.
No, you don't look like it.
1-0.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Already checking it off at 1-0, and it's like a team who was a call or two away from making the AFC title game last year. But we just assume because of what we know.
Light touch.
I guess the Ravens up until last year, I will warn people, the Ravens up until last year thought they owned the Texans. So it could always flip. Mm-hmm. The difference would be the Ravens were extremely beat up. They weren't playing well defensively, and the Texans walked in there and beat their ass. The Texans are going to be, unless there's a spate of injuries in the preseason, the healthiest they're ever going to be in that game. So we won't have to worry about that. But we just assume that Josh Allen won't ever figure it out.
No, especially at NRG.
Yeah. You know? Well, this is the only time we've ever – have they played in Buffalo since Josh Allen's been there? It is a,
if they did, it was like 2019.
It had to be very early in Josh before he became Josh Allen. It is an interesting quirk that whether it be playoffs or simply a regular season game, they don't have to travel up to Buffalo. Buffalo's got a new stadium, so it would be an interesting thing to go see the Texans there, but that won't be the case. It is at what is now Reliant Stadium. Well, currently it's Houston Stadium because the World Cup won't allow for sponsorship, but once the game rolls around, it will be Reliant. So 1-0. And then you've got two superstar quarterbacks coming to town, and we just expect 2-0 because of what that defense has laid out, particularly last year as far as their level of dominance. So if we didn't have such confidence in this Texans defense, you'd be like, oh, the NFL's screwing us. We got Josh Allen and Joe Burrow coming to town our first 2 weeks of the season.
I mean, and then the three of the first four games, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Daniel Jones, not count. He's the other one that I'm setting aside.
Yeah.
And then Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Yeah, you go, hey, it's nice to start off the year three of your first four games
at home.
But they have, like, legit superstar quarterbacks. Yeah. But then you go, wait a minute, what about our boys? As we like to say, bad's not going to work, BHAD, but we like to say big hits all day defense. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Kamari Lassiter and his mom. She used to say that to him when he was a kid.
Big hits all day.
Big hits all day. You can find that on, I think, Sean's page, AJ, Big Hits All Day. But Big Hits All Day faces three of the best quarterbacks in the league, and we're thinking, hey, 4-0, a possible start to the year. With the one non-home game, a game against the Colts, we'll see where Daniel Jones is as far as his recovery.
Big Hits All Day.
There it is, Big Hits All Day defense. And while we have a Cowboy fan who just played that, probably, and he did push back on the first show about the thought of the Cowboys not winning that game, but if you go by the projection, the Texans will likely be favored in their first four games, and that will continue because they got at the Titans, then they go face the Jags in London, so that might be the first time they're not favored in a game. But even with the Giants coming to town the next week, 6 out of 7 games, the Texans are likely favored, which would be a change if they play like that projection, because they started off last year in a place where they would have to do something pretty unlikely, and they did it to make the playoffs, because if I remember, that was a team that was 0-3 to start the year.
0-3 and in a dogfight in their fourth game against the Titans, the win at the time, also winless Tennessee Titans. So, yeah, it is a big swing of, like, if you take our show from, whatever, October 4th last year, and now it's like we're looking at the schedule that starts with Buffalo, Cincinnati, Dallas, and a Jags team who – ended up winning the division last year, and we look at this and we're like, you know, pretty. You get to the bye, you know, we're looking at 6-1. You know, like it's or I guess 6-1. You're looking at that like, man, this is a pretty good spot. It gets tougher later in the year, but man, it gets the NFL helped us out to start the season. Compare that to where we were after three games last year. It sounds ridiculous,
and yet. Some will be extremely disappointed if they're not 5-2 and 6-1. I would just say, you know what, the NFL season, now we feel like it takes forever for it to get here, and then we feel like it goes by like this. But you have your ebbs and flows,
it's
of course.
Season.
You just never know how long the season is. Season is how many games you have to play. Let's just start off 1-0, let's do that.
Thank you.
Let's perhaps hope that Josh Allen doesn't figure it out. That's my hope going into week one, that the superstar quarterback who puts up numbers against everyone continues to struggle against your team. I mean, law of averages says he's due to break out.
Yeah.
But we're a long way from that occurring, so let's hope that continues. So that's just a quick look at the Texans schedule. We'll get more into it because, as you mentioned, there is a portion of the season, particularly late, where you play some cold weather games against some teams that maybe aren't as good as you, but you're on the road in cold weather, which we'll talk about in regards to how this Texans team appears to want to play offense, because they are certainly trying to build an offense that would acclimate better to the cold weather games that they're going to have to play late, and maybe the cold weather games they're going to have to play during the postseason. If the plan comes to fruition, then they should be well-placed to play those games. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So we're just getting started here at East River 9. Sean and I till noon, and then Sean and Will Kunkel from 12 to 3, and then Jeremy and Joe after that. If you want to join us, you can call us at 713-780-3776. You can also maybe call a little bit later, because I know some of you like to wait for Michael Carroll to join us. He'll join us at 11:30. He'll be back in studio, but he'll certainly join us. So maybe Michael has some insight on the Expendables. If you don't know what that is going to be an all-female version of the Expendables. Sean and I were doing some dream casting before the show began. I mean, we got some names. Maybe Michael have some, too. He'll also have some recs on some other things you might want to watch, or maybe some things you don't want to watch. We'll do that right around 11:30. So we'll go to break here. We'll come back with more. Also, one of the prime targets in a potential trade this offseason got dimed out by one of his teammates. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We're just getting started. We will be back.
Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9. Here's Del Olalea and Sean Meatball Mapes.
Is that, how new is that?
From yesterday.
Why Meatball?
I was talking about how I've never had a nickname in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, no one's ever been like, There goes Meatball. I just came up. I was trying to reference the Seinfeld episode where Costanza goes by T-Bone.
T-Bone.
And
yeah.
I thought it was
T-Bone.
Yeah. And I thought it was Meatball.
Oh, okay.
And so I just misremembered that, and now it's turned into Meatball.
So you're Meatball Mapes now, huh?
Yeah, and Brian caught some Meatball McDonald's or McMeatball.
McMeatball. So. That's not bad, McMeatball.
Yeah. So everyone's kind of Meatball now.
I got it. Well,
Lexi was in on it, too. So
we'll see what else Michael has in store for us. I was wondering why the rejoin was taking so long. And now maybe I have my answer.
Which one was the meatball?
Yeah, I got to go find that one. So we'll see what happens the rest of the show. That's Michael Carroll, the inventive Michael Carroll. He'll join us at right around 11:30. So early in the broadcast day, of course, John and Lance. Well, John's not here, but it was Lance and Raheel. And Drake's, well, three albums came up. And one of them has apparently his mother on the cover. I did not know his it was the R&B album, I believe. His mom's on the cover.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. We all have different relationships with our mother. Some of us are close. Some of us are not so close. It all depends on how you grew up. This is not a judgment. This is me just assessing and knowing the facts of life. Would you put your mother on a cover of an album when one of the songs is called Ho Face? Not that he's calling his mother a hoe, but one of the songs is Ho Phase, and his mom is on the cover of that album.
Phase.
Ho Phase.
Like P-H-A-S-E.
P-H-A-S-E, okay. Yes.
I wouldn't, to answer your question.
It's not something I think. I probably wouldn't. If I'm like, probably, hey, mom, wouldn't. I want to put you on the cover of this album, I would be a little cognizant of titles of song. Look, I can't speak to the content. Hey, whatever you're going to rap about, you're going to rap about.
Yeah.
But if I know that my mother is going to be very interested in this particular album because she's on the cover, maybe when she goes to Apple Music or sees the track list, Ho Phase is not one I want her to see. But hey, I'm not the near billionaire artist.
Ho Phase is the first one. She is the lead track. On the
I know. It's the first thing you would see.
I would mix it in, you know,
maybe
seven,
track
eight
seven.
Range.
Yeah. Maybe as soon as she opens up the Apple Music album or the album on Apple Music, she doesn't see Ho Phase.
Ho Phase interlude.
Yeah, so that is that was one of what 43 combined songs that Drake put out yesterday. He's had a lot of time to try to recover from what happened last summer,
and 2024.
Oh, two summers ago, actually. It's been a while. So this is his comeback. You know, people have gotten dissed. Joe Budden. He mentions Steph Curry in a positive way. Of course, Kendrick caught his. But Ho Phase is the one that I noticed, mostly because his mother is on the cover of the album. We played the clean version of Ho Phase, thanks to AJ finding it. We played it. So, but that's non-sports related.
The clean version of Ho Phase.
Yeah, you got it.
No, I mean, the song. It's a funny sentence.
I know, because the title's the title. Yes. It's still the title. There isn't a cleaned-up title. despite the lyrics being cleaned up. So there that is in pop culture. Okay, so normally the day after Texans release, John Granato would go through the schedule and pick the Texans schedule week by week. And normally he winds up, no matter the real projection of the team, they're usually 14-3, 15-2, 16-1. Hard to find a loss.
Yeah, it is hard.
Yeah, it's hard for him to find. And this schedule, according to DJ Bieniemy, he thinks the Texans could win 13-14 games. So people are high on this team. They love the defense, and people think they've done enough offensively to supplement that defense. And if the attitude is they're going to play to their defense, maybe they beat everyone 24-13, 21-17, and win games like that. That's a tough place to land, winning a lot of one-score games, but we'll see. We'll see about that. But the thing I did want to get to is I never thought I would compare John Granato and Mike Greenberg. You know, they kind of do the same job. Mike Greenberg was a long-time radio guy.
Host.
He's on TV. John has done TV in the past. He currently does radio, of course. So
Yeah. They
are in the same business. Mm-hmm. I did not know they're the same in this regard. Mike Greenberg, can you guess what he has the Jets projected as?
So in this light, yes. I'm assuming it's positive.
And I didn't hear the context. I didn't watch the show, so I'm assuming it is, you mentioned in this light, it's probably lighthearted. The way he's projecting them,
yeah.
But we want to guess what he decided to do today, this morning.
I mean, I'm gonna guess like 10-7.
Oh, you must have not heard John Granato.
No, I mean,
you think he had some credibility attached
like,
to it?
Of like, hey, get a wild card berth, because this is a team that them and their fans are like, do not draft a quarterback this year because we want to draft a quarterback in the top five next season. So this is a team that's already like punting this year.
Of course.
And so the way to like, you know, go high on it, it's like, yeah, 10-11 wins, you know? That's shocking. That's crazy.
It is crazy. He has the Jets winning as many games as they've won over the last three seasons.
Combined?
15. 15-2. He's got them at 15-2. So as I said, I did not know those two were similar as they appear to be.
I thought there'd be some like I'm Mike Greenberg credibility.
Yeah, is it
like? Cause, I mean, Granato's Granato.
Yeah, there's a lack of credibility when it comes to this particular topic. Picking your favorite team schedule. Do you think John has seen Greenberg or heard Greenberg do this in the past? Because at times John's show has followed right after Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
Do you think he took it from Greenberg, or did Greenberg take it from John?
I think Greenberg took it from.
I would agree. I think that was a John Granato original.
Yeah.
And Greenberg needs to send reparations. Yes, I use that word.
That phrase, yeah,
on purpose. I mean, I think he needs to send. Yeah, that's true. He does call himself that. He needs to send John a couple bucks. If you're going to take that on national television, at least make mention of the guy who brought it to us first. John will be back on Monday to pick the Texan schedule.
To do the thing?
Yeah, to do his thing. I mean, because I know everyone's missing that. So we'll hear from John on Monday on what he thinks of the Texan schedule. But overall, I think particularly locally, there is a belief that the only thing that's going to keep the Texans from, beyond injuries, keep the Texans from reaching the heights of 12 to 13 wins is that stretch where they're going on the road in the cold against teams that, well, we'll see what they are at the end of the year, but teams that aren't projected to be great per se, like the Steelers and the Commanders, but they do face those teams in what we might predict is inclement weather. And we saw how their quarterback handled less than stellar weather the last time around. He couldn't catch snaps. He threw picks. Whether that be the pressure of the moment being in the playoffs or just the weather, we don't really know. We just saw CJ. While we questioned some of his play, we did not see the turnover-prone player that we saw in those two games at any point really in his career. There have been a bad throw here, a misread, but never to the point where he was unplayable and people were calling for Davis Mills at halftime of a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's what it was, and maybe that is leading to some of the thoughts about this team overall. I was listening to Outside the City. I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the Texans and what they've done this offseason. And a lot of it goes to beyond all the words about the defense and how great it is. Did they do enough on the offensive line to match what they want to be? Because we think Wyatt Teller is an improvement. We think Braden Smith is an improvement, and they should be, or Nick Cassero got this really wrong. From the national perspective, there is a thought that the best football for those guys is behind them. And there's a reason the two big acquisitions this offseason on the O-line, as far as the guys you brought from the outside, of course, you drafted a player and then you brought Ed Ingram back. But as far as established NFL players you brought in, there's a reason those guys are available. Because it's always, hey, what teams just let really good offensive linemen go if they're willing to stay? So beyond Mike Clay ranking the Texans the worst offensive line projection-wise in football, I don't agree with that, because if that's the case, then Nick Cassero, throw that extension in the trash.
Yeah,
you don't.
Is that
you shouldn't get one. You should be out. I don't know, Nick. We're gonna find out. I don't think it's accurate, Nick. I don't think you just put together the 32nd best offensive line in football, or worse, depending on how you look at it. I think being average would be just fine. Is having an average offensive line enough with that defense to go on the road? Where we think we're going to de-emphasize your quarterback and win these games. I think it is. I just hope Mike Clay is wrong and the people he talked to is wrong, and we get, 15th, 16th. I'm not expecting Braden Smith and Wyatt Teller to be great. They wouldn't have been available if they're going to be great. But if they're going to run the football down people's throats and be better than having Woody Marks go for, 3.9 or whatever he was average-wise, yeah. Couple him with David Montgomery, I would agree with people who think they can get to 12 and 13. Hell, they couldn't run the football last year and got the 12. So I think it's very possible this year. I would just love for them to be healthy late and to see this model be put to the test against teams who may still be in their own races for playoff spots in bad weather, and see what they got.
Yeah, I mean, because after Thanksgiving, the only games you play are either at home or in, like you said, we don't know if there'll be inclement weather games, but they're in cities where inclement weather does occur.
Yeah.
You know, it's and they're all, teams that I think at the very least, they think that they're playoff teams, or their fans are looking at their schedule and think that they're playoff teams. You host the Ravens, go at Pittsburgh, at Washington, host the Jags, team that won the division last year. And then you go at Philly, at Green Bay, before wrapping things up at home against Tennessee. But, I mean, that is a stretch of games where it's like, if any of those games are under 40 degrees, it would not be a shock. And it's what we were talking about before. What was it? The Steelers game? Where it was like the Houston Texans franchise when it's 40 degrees or less, and it's not pretty. And you're going to get, probably at least three of those games, because not only are they in these cold weather, I mean, they're all night games. It's Sunday night against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. It's Thursday night, Christmas Eve in Philadelphia. And it's Sunday night or Monday night against the Packers on January 4th. These are all going to be cold at night games. And it will be a real test of, can they Iowa football it up, as we've talked about, and just run the ball, play good defense, and that being enough to get out of Green Bay, Philadelphia, and get out of these places alive with a win.
Can they make Kirk Ferentz proud?
Yeah, it's like they built this team knowing that you were going to get the schedule. That's not the case, but this specific end of the season is like, oh, we need to run the ball. We need to learn how to run the ball.
You're talking about them going into last year's playoffs. I was asking because you mentioned historically how bad the Houston Texans have been when the temperature is under 40 as part of playing as a dome team, and of course they're not built that way. They're not, the narrative about them isn't that because of how what their defense is, but their quarterback certainly played like he was a dome quarterback in the playoffs. And this is a guy who played at Ohio State, so you wouldn't have expected that type of performance. So maybe we shouldn't just put it all on weather, but the evidence we have for him in the playoffs in less than ideal temperatures, the Baltimore game wasn't crazy cold in the playoffs. But it wasn't warm, and he didn't play particularly great in that
his rookie year,
so we can maybe – and you want to couch that as his rookie year, not you specifically, but if you talk about a defensive – it was his rookie year, first road playoff game. It was his best year as a pro. So there's the give and take of that. So if the plan is to take it off his plate, I would say it's a needle that you're threading that's pretty tough, because – at some point, he's just going to have to make plays.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe the offensive line gives them time with the play action stuff, and that certainly can work in their favor. The in breakers, Nico Collins off that play action, likely will be a staple. But I wouldn't say a soft start. You just have a lot of home games. I think, despite what we think of some of those teams in the back half of the schedule, you pointing out the night portion and then the locations will be a real test. It's a real interesting breakdown of how the schedule goes.
Yeah, and really, I think my first takeaway was they don't have a primetime game until November 19th. You know, that is a little strange, and B, like, a weird vote of confidence in this team of, like,
that they're going to be good.
That they're going to be good, and so they're going to be put on Thursday night. And it's not things that you can flex out of, really. It's Thursday night against the Colts, whatever. That's normal Thursday night divisional matchup. That we're kind of used to that. But week 13, Sunday night. Week 16, Thursday night, Christmas Eve. So it's a standalone night game. And then Monday night against the Packers. Like, second to last week of the season. Like, this is, we talked about the Giants getting the week one Dallas matchup as a, yeah, because do you want to see a potentially 3-9 Giants team in early November? No, the NFL knows that, so they are going to front load those kind of matchups with teams that we're less sure about. This to me seems like somewhat of a vote of confidence that, like, oh, we can put this team on primetime, and it's not a, you know, traditional powerhouse ratings monster, and it won't be a disaster because we think they're going to be pretty good.
And I would agree. Pretty good. I'm certainly, we can judge what that means.
Yeah, just like,
yeah,
well,
competitive in the playoff
contender. Can it be 7-5?
Yeah.
You know, like going into the Pittsburgh game, like, be good enough.
Yeah, I think while 7-5 would be good, but you'd be right in that level of are we making the playoffs or not? I think that would be a disappointment to some people. I think from what I've heard and from what I can tell from just the general vibes is that this team, most people think they're taking this division back, and certainly the Jags will have something to say about that, at least locally. I think if you poll different places, you might get a different conclusion. But here, at least, I don't think many people took what happened with Jacksonville very seriously last year. It doesn't help the Jags when they get knocked out of the playoffs. And there's some questions, and maybe rightfully so, I certainly have them, about Trevor Lawrence. So there's certainly no clear reason why the Texans can't win this division again, because there's not a real powerhouse at the top of this division.
I mean, speaking of Trevor Lawrence,
I don't believe that's a real haircut.
Okay, I agree with you. And the reason why is because it was a terrible haircut.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it was an
Trevor's got a lot of money, and I don't know that anyone who's going to be in a video where they're cutting Trevor Lawrence's hair, if you're actually a stylist or a barber, wants that on their resume. Because we know, if you just go on Instagram, you see you cut a famous person's hair, the barbers post those haircuts.
Yeah.
Because it's a way to advertise. I don't think anyone involved in a real haircut wants that as the projection of what you're capable,
like,
of.
Like, literally the most eyeballs this barber will ever get.
Yeah.
And it's release, and it's a terrible,
I don't know if I would have signed
Peter
up for
Pan
it.
Ass haircut.
Some people said it was a Karen type haircut.
It's also a Karen. Yeah. It is a,
I don't know that I'm signing up to be the barber of that, if that's the projection for me going forward. Oh, I don't know if the barber got a mention. I didn't watch the video. I just saw the side-by-sides. So if the barber got a mention, oh, we got big-time Duval County barber, whoever. Nah, not me. You're going to have to pick someone else. That's not going to be what people think I'm capable of.
Yeah, or it's like, Trevor, you're getting a better haircut. But
I don't,
we both think that it was some sort of forgery, whether that's like him wearing a Trevor Lawrence wig on top of his Trevor Lawrence hair, and then them only cutting the wig or whatever that is. It's a fine idea. You know, I'm on the record as being anti schedule release content.
Got it.
And that's not like the most offensive, you know, like that's just like a fine idea, whatever.
Yeah,
it's not completely creatively bankrupt. Like, it's all right.
Yeah, speaking of that,
it's at least short.
We didn't have to sit through very much. And speaking of that, the NFL gave no directives to their teams about the Diana Rossini-Rabel thing.
And that comedy is legal again.
Yes, I'm comedians being put upon by the rules of society. Thankfully, they've been able to fight back. I'm so worried about those guys and women and their freedom of speech. Yeah, comedian. Sean, comedians. I think the Chargers made mention of it. Certainly, what they did was they didn't really mention Rabel or Rossini by name, but they had, like, of course, for people who don't know, I guess, Halo was their theme, and it looks like they got the people from Halo to help them out because it wasn't cheap. It looked like the game itself, and in the corner when they were talking about their game against the Patriots, it was a New York Post icon pop-up. So that was their reference to the Rabel Rossini thing. I don't know how
– Pretty soft.
Don't know – yeah, I mean, hey – I mean, they did the
inside the NBA went harder at them.
Yes, yes. The producers at inside the NBA had a little more to them when they're going after Vrabel and Rossini. I think the Chargers also, because they happen to be playing the Dolphins, had a tank in there and all the cutting of Tua and Tyreek Hill. So depending on the level of violence people wanted to the social media team wanted to be involved in, you got different levels of going after other franchises. So that's out there. The Texans were, I guess they used Brian Cushing. I didn't really see it, but
yeah,
it was a Brian Cushing level thing.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, the Dolphins had Rick Ross. So we had people did different things, and the Chargers is the one that people root for or wait for. The Titans were on their game again, so those are all out there. But as far as the schedules, they're there. You can, I guess, plan your trips or just pick your winners and see how it goes. We'll go to break with that. We're here at East River 9. We're going to be out here at least this show till noon, and then the rest of the lineup will be joining us afterwards. So if you guys should come, out here, whether it be for the golf, the pickleball, or you just want to get something from Birdie's Ice House. They rebranded a little bit ago now, and the menu's out, and Raheel and Lance are taking advantage of it right now. Good food here at Birdie's Ice House. We will be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9. Here's Del Olalea.
I want to ask you this before we got a short segment here, and then we'll get into hour two. Michael Carroll joins us at 11:30. What's your relationship with live music in this town? Do you guys go to live shows? My first live show was when I moved here, now like 20 years ago. It was at Walters on Washington. It was this band called Bayside from the Montauk, New York area. They were in town. I watched them. Little small place. People who may know Walters on Washington moved and now it's closed down, but it wasn't a big place. I mean, it probably held 250, whatever, 300 people, maybe. And I was telling you about the time it was Wade versus it was the 2006 Eastern Conference Finals. We were talking off the air where it was the Heat made their first finals and Wade had that shot in where he flips over and it's backwards. He flips it up and in. It goes in. And I remember I was at that show, and that game was on. That's why I will always remember being at that show. And, of course, it was my first show. You guys go to live shows still? Did you ever go to live shows?
Not really. Not, like, maybe once a year or once every couple years. Like, it was not, like, a huge thing for me of, like, going to, like, House of Blues or I think I've been to Warehouse Live, like, once. You know, like, I'm not a huge live music person.
AJ, what about you?
No, I still haven't been yet, but I'm still 23, so probably eventually.
He'll get there. So that's how I found my music. Of course, I'm the oldest of the three, so I was still of the era where MySpace told you what music you should listen to, and of course, you find out the band on the page is coming to Houston, and then you go watch the show. That is now changing. Apparently, Houston was voted the worst city in America for live music.
Huh.
Worst city. And it has to do for multiple reasons. This post by Jack Freeman Jr. lays it out. And it's a lot to do with the venues and the fact that we don't have many mid-sized venues. You mentioned Warehouse Live.
Yeah.
It used to be in one location, and then Justin, a friend of the station, bought it, and it's now at a different place. I remember the Meridian, a club from years ago that no longer exists. It was in – it's very near to where the Dynamo play. It's no longer a music club. I don't even know what it is. Last time I saw it, if I remember seeing it, had graffiti all over it, so I'm not sure what they're doing with it now. it's the death of the mid-sized clubs in Houston. So you have to be either a giant band, like, of course, if you're going to be at Toyota Center or at NRG, or you have to have a cult following. Like, for example, the lead singer of Paramore, her name's Hayley Williams. She's doing her solo stuff, and she's doing one tour that she didn't come to Houston, but now she has a tour coming, or at least she's going to do another tour because of the demand from her solo album, how popular it was. She's going to do a second tour, and she's going to be at Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. Now, that place, depending on who they have, if you take in the grass and then, but also the seated place, that can get up to like 16,000 if you take in the grass, people just standing, milling about. So that's what you would likely consider a big venue. And then you have like, what's in Sugarland, Link, was it Financial?
Oh, yeah.
Smart Financial?
Yeah,
Smart Financial. I think I saw a Dave Chappelle stand up there with, I think, John and maybe Lance were there with me, courtesy of Justin, who I just mentioned. So if you are looking or wondering why live music isn't as big anymore, it's because Houston was voted worst in America, which is surprising considering how big it is. You'd think we just have a lot of places where people can go listen to live music, but it is becoming fewer and far between for this place.
Yeah, because they have, you know, Reliant, Toyota Center,
yeah.
Cynthia Woods.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're set. You're right that, like, under that level, you know, they have, you know, obviously the huge one, the stadium. Then they have a couple or one or definitely arena. One, like, pseudo arena-ish size, but outdoors. But, yeah, there isn't really that, like, theater kind of act.
You know, you mentioned House of Blues during the break. That place is there. You have, like, White Oak Music Hall. There are a couple places.
Yeah.
But as far as the right size for some of the, I won't call them mid-tier artists, but just they want to be able to fill up a place but not be not provide and not have it be very empty.
The sub-arena kind of
just to find find a spot, and that is not apparently readily available here. So
that's
I blame you, AJ, for not going to live shows.
maybe to concert.
Your generation killed it.
Yeah, the Zoomers killed live music in Houston.
Yes, I say your generation.
You're a young millennial.
Yeah.
Take that on.
But I also say your generation when talking to millennials.
Yeah,
so
you're right in the middle. Depending on...
I get to have my cake and eat
depending
it.
Depending on what's wrong with a certain thing, you can just blame whoever you want to blame.
That's the game, baby.
And because I am strictly in the millennial generation, I blame the Zoomers.
Yeah.
Because Zoomers is a ridiculous name. So that's why I like saying it, as opposed to Gen Zer. Let's get to Jerry. Jerry, we'll get to you when we come back, Jerry. We'll get to you in an hour or two. We're going to break with that. And, hey, people, if you love a live show, if you love live music, go. Because the artists are starting to stop coming to Houston because of the lack of the venues and the lack of attendance. So just be aware. You always assume this place will be a place where people will want to show up. And if you love an artist and they're not a big one, make sure if they're coming to town, go, because it might be the last time you get to see them, at least here. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll be back with hour two.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.